Let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Now, in these verses, we see Paul's appreciation as well as his care and concern for Timothy, his beloved son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's look at a few background notes first of all. Verses 3 through 7 form Paul's section of thanksgiving in this letter to Timothy. This was typical of letters in the first century. After the greeting, there would be a section of thanksgiving. In this section of thanksgiving, we see that Paul is thankful to God for Timothy, his younger fellow worker. In verse 3, we read that Paul was not only thankful for Timothy, he prayed for him regularly, night and day. He longed to see Timothy again so that they might experience the joy of Christian fellowship together. Look at verse 4. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. The tears that Paul is mindful of here are probably the tears that Timothy shed when they were suddenly separated at Paul's arrest, the arrest that led to this imprisonment. In verse 5, we learn that Timothy had a godly mother, Eunice, and a godly grandmother, Lois. You know, I can really identify with Timothy here because I have a godly mother, and her name is Eunice. After reading verse 5, a logical question might come to your mind, and it would be this. If the faith first dwelt in Lois and Eunice, and then in Timothy, when did Lois and Eunice become Christians? Now, there's several possibilities here. One possibility is that they were in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost. Jews came in from all over the Roman Empire. So maybe they were there, and they were two of the 3,000 converts that day. Or maybe they were saved soon after through the ministry of some of those converts that came back to their area. Another possibility is that they became Christians through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, either during Paul's early ministry in his home territory around Tarsus, or on his first missionary journey. And then Lois and Eunice led Timothy to the Lord. Most likely, the scenario is as follows. Lois and Eunice were godly Jewish women exercising true faith in the God of Israel even before they heard the gospel. They taught Timothy the scriptures when he was only a young child. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says about Timothy that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Lois and Eunice were faithful Jews, like the godly forefathers that Paul mentions in verse 3, like Abraham, like Moses, like Deborah, like Anna and Simeon. And so then when Paul comes to their area preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they immediately receive this further revelation from God and accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And Timothy did as well at the same time or shortly thereafter. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal points or teaching points from this section of 2 Timothy. Doctrinal point number one, spiritual gifts are given, but they must be stirred up. Spiritual gifts are given, but they must be stirred up. Look once again at verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. The idea in the phrase stir up the gift is fan the flame, kindle afresh. You know how a campfire or even a fire in your fireplace has to be periodically poked and fanned to keep it burning brightly. Same idea here. Spiritual gifts are given, but they must be stirred up. We believe that Timothy had the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher. Back in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, we read that Paul said to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Most likely, Timothy's spiritual gift was given to him at Lystra when he joined Paul's missionary team. Read about it in Acts chapter 16. In association with God's giving Timothy this spiritual gift, there was a prophecy made, and there was the laying on of hands by Paul and the elders of the church. Now remember, this was back in apostolic times. We believe that the Bible teaches that the normal way spiritual gifts are given today is that they are given at the same time as salvation. When you become a Christian, you not only receive forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but part of the package of salvation is your spiritual gift or gifts. And every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, we read, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, the point here is that while spiritual gifts are given, they must be stirred up. Just as talents must be used, so it is with spiritual gifts. You might have the talent of a pianist, but you must play the piano for that talent to be effective. Well, in the same way, spiritual gifts must be stirred up, or they are ineffective. How do you stir up your spiritual gift? Get more involved in Christian service, and you'll not only discover what your spiritual gift is, the gift will be stirred up. Spiritual gifts are given, but they must be stirred up. Doctrinal point number two. Spiritual character is given, but it must be developed. Spiritual character is given, but it must be developed. Verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," or discipline, self-discipline. That's the idea there. You know, Timothy was not a bold, upfront, go-get-em type of Christian. He was more timid and tended to hold back even when he should step forward. I think a lot of us can identify with Timothy. And so Paul says here in verse 7, "Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." This is God's word to us today as well, as it was Paul's word to Timothy in the first century. Spiritual character is given. God gives us courage. God gives us power. God gives us love. God gives us a sound mind or self-discipline. But these spiritual character traits must be developed. For example, suppose you have a problem witnessing to your neighbor or to a fellow student or to someone you work with. You know you've had plenty of opportunities, but you're playing chicken. You're scared. You're afraid. Now, here's the point. God did not give you that spirit of fear. All the spiritual character you need to be an effective witness is available to you, but it must be developed. Well, how do you do it? Just get out there and witness. Just do it. Start small. Give some literature to a fellow worker or a student or a neighbor, and then come back a few days later and say, "Hey, what'd you think of that material I gave you?" Ask your neighbor what they think about the moral conditions of this country. That's a pretty good icebreaker. And guess what? You will find that not only does the conversation open up more, but you'll be developing courage. The courage that you have, it's there, it's available. But you'll be developing it. And you'll be finding that there is a love there, available. There is strength, there is power. Those spiritual character traits are available. Now that's just one example. More could be given. Whatever spiritual character trait you need for whatever situation the Lord allows you to be in, you will find whatever is needed is available. Courage, love, moral strength, emotional stability, self-control. Are you in a situation right now where you could use any of these spiritual character traits? Listen, any and all of these spiritual character traits are available, but you must develop them. Work at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So we are to, notice what the scripture says there, use all diligence to add these things. Sounds like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? And it is. Galatians 5, these things are given. But 2 Peter chapter 1 is saying we need to use diligence to add these things to our faith. Work at it. Spiritual character is given, but it must be developed. All right, now let's move to some practical application, or maybe we should say further practical application. Practical application number one, you can always pray. You can always pray. The Apostle Paul was a very active Christian, but that service activity was suddenly cut short. He was thrown into prison. Now, what does Paul do now that he's in prison? Does he have a pity party for himself? No. He continues in whatever Christian activity he can. He writes and he prays. You can always pray. We see from verse 3 that Paul had an active prayer life, night and day without ceasing. You can always pray. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your age is, you can always pray. How I thank the Lord for older Christians who I know are praying for me and my ministry. They might not be able to do much physical activity at this stage of life, but they can pray and they are praying. You may be in that category now. I challenge you to write encouraging notes and letters to younger Christians and pray. You can always pray. Practical application number two. It's okay for you to cry. It's okay for you to cry. Notice in verse 4 that Timothy was not reprimanded for crying. Sometimes it's hard for some of us to cry when we should cry. Maybe it's because we've always been told, oh, only babies cry. Stop crying. Don't be a crybaby. Well, we shouldn't be crying all the time, that's for sure. But there is a time to weep. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4. It's okay for you to cry.